musicians, good singers. And really, I'm sure we take it for granted, which we shouldn't, but I'm sure we do. But I am thankful for it. I enjoy good singing. It can sing in harmony and get anointed. Amen. And have words that make sense. It's not, you know, appreciate your giving tonight. And I want you to turn with me to Luke, St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. And I'll read to you a very familiar text that's, you know, used to be preached quite a bit. And the Lord dealt with me. Some of it's leaked out a little through the last few weeks. You'll probably recognize a point or two, maybe. But I feel like preaching this tonight, and we don't know what tomorrow holds. I'll try not to be real lengthy, but I want to get this little thought to you. I want you to go to the 16th chapter and the 19th verse. Very familiar text about that Christ really reveals a great truth about eternity for the saved and the unsaved. And he lets us know right off that there's a difference, and it's bliss and on the one, and it's, well, torment on the other. But I want you to read with me tonight, and I'll go ahead and tell you up front as I read it. It might help you. I'm not really going to preach on hell tonight. Of course, this is the text. But I want to, let me read and get down, but I want you to ponder that as I begin to read. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I'm not going to read any more of this text tonight, but you remember, I'm sure, very well where the agony of this rich man in hell fire. Somehow he could see across the gulf and see a man there that he had seen before. He recognized him. And you know the torture and torment that he remembered his lifetime and knew there was no escape and no way out. I looked at this text it's been several weeks ago now, and I really had the Lord deal with me about it. So as I preach tonight, I'll give you a title here in a minute, but as I preach, I want you to understand that the Lord preached this to me first. I'm just going to share it with you, and I hope I can touch somebody in this house tonight. But I looked at this man, and really, when I looked at this scripture, I looked at this rich man. And I believe we all would be like this. We'd say, I really can't relate to that man. You know, when you just scan this scripture, Brother Charlie, it looks like there's nowhere we can find that man really relates to us. But you know, I meditate in this scripture. When I read it a few weeks ago, Brother Robert, the Lord spoke to me in such a way about it that I began to relate, amen, somewhat to this man. And it really put me on my knees. And when I look at this, of course, I begin to ask myself the question, how did this man, what was the crime of this man that got him in these flames, that got him separated from heaven? what in the world was the crime? And so I looked this scripture over, and I went over it and over it and over it in my mind. And I noticed, you know, there's some things about the man, you know, that we know about him in this short discourse the Lord gave. Amen. And the first thing I noticed about this man was he was rich. And so I began to ask myself, the Lord asked me, and I'll ask you tonight. Amen. Does being rich, amen, is that the crime that sends a man to hell? You're not helping me, are you? It's all right. How'd that song say? It said, long as I got, how was that? But I'll tell you, when it comes to preaching, you like to have as many as you can on board. So if you'll get on board with me here, I want to ask you one more time, and this will be a short little sermon. But I want to ask you one more time, just being rich, I want to tell you something. When he looked across that gulf into the bosom of a man, Abraham, it was the richest man in the whole country. You hear what I said? Abraham was a man that was rich in cattle, amen, in land, and was a rich. So I looked at that and I felt the Lord say, this man is not in hell today because he's a rich man. I began to look a little more earnest because when I looked at this, I kind of said, Lord, I'm glad, amen, that I can't relate to this man. But then the Lord turned it on me, Brother Mark, and he said, but oh, wait a minute here, preacher, you are rich. And I probably didn't have two nickels to rub together that day. Amen. But he relayed to me, amen, this man did not go to hell because he is rich. Hey, I gotta get to my message here. Amen. But I looked on down. The Bible said he was clothed in purple. Amen. And so does every man that wears purple, amen, go to hell? The answer's no. He was a man clothed in fine linen. Amen. Does everybody that's clothed in fine linen go to hell? God clothed his priesthood in linen. Amen. Come on now. Amen. So it wasn't his apparel. It wasn't his wealth. Amen. And so I tracked it back. And I see this man at his gate. Amen. Come on now. And I feel the Lord spoke to my heart. Amen. The answer, amen, is back at the gate. Amen. This man is in hell because he ignored the man at his gate. He's in hell because he could have helped the man at his gate, and he ignored him, and he was indifferent to him. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to turn the heat up on you. If you believe what I just said to you about this ignoring this man, it never says he ever acknowledged him till he got in hell, and then he saw Lazarus. He had seen him many times before. Amen. The Lord brought his attention back to the gate. So I'm preaching tonight, amen, not on the man at your gate, but I'm going to preach on the man at my gate. Are you with me tonight? Man, you need a preacher in this house tonight. This man, when he got in hell, he said, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus. That's what this rich man said. Have mercy on me. Amen. So evidently he knew what mercy was. Mercy was somebody that had access to water, bringing me a drop of water, just a drop on the tip of his finger. That's all he asked for. Amen. Give me mercy. But he didn't give mercy himself. This man is in hell, amen, tonight, because he would not give a poor beggar man at his gate, amen, relief, amen. You don't believe this, but I'm telling you the right. He had no mercy on him. Never called his name. I often wondered, Brother Zane, you remember Brother Roger O'Quinn? Preached a message over Brother Bobby's one time about those dogs that came and licked the sores. And I've often pondered that, Brother Mitch. Why did the Lord point out them old scroungy dogs? Do you know a dog in the Jewish world was considered the lowest creature in town. Amen. When they wanted to talk about a man that was a pervert, or they call him a dog. That's what they do, because a dog was the lowest thing in town. But he said, I want you to know something, rich man. Amen. That dog had more compassion on this poor man than you did. You didn't even stop and look at him. You didn't even stop and ask him, is there anything I can do? Amen. The dogs at least licked his sores. The lowest creature, amen, in the country had more compassion, more mercy, more concern, more, amen, help than you did. This scripture, now I'm going to preach to you a little bit. This scripture said nothing about lying. It said nothing about cheating. It said nothing about beating the government out of their taxes. It said nothing about cheating on his wife. It said nothing about that. This whole chapter, amen, talks, you read 16th chapter of the book of Luke, we know that their hell is there, but it's a whole chapter preached to the Pharisees about stewardship, the unjust steward. I believe that this man, a rich man clothed in purple and fine linen, may have been a Pharisee. He might have been a priest because of the linen garment that he had on, but he had purple on. And purple in that day spoke of royalty. It spoke of power. It spoke of prestige. It spoke of a political position. And I wonder about the church sometime. Are we just content to have our purple sash that the world knows, amen, that we're a religious person that have authority and power and prestige, and we say things and people move? Amen. That ain't going to help us none. Amen. If all we've got is the purple sash and the linen comfort, we'll go to hell like a bullet. Hallelujah. Purple represented power. I believe sometimes, and y'all ain't going to love this, I believe sometimes the church is so busy trying to please the world that they forget to please God. They'll walk into their house with their purple sash, amen, and the church is like the Crystal Palace, Robert Schuller, amen, and some of those cats like, amen, T.D. Jakes, amen, and all those that wear all that expensive garb, amen, and do all those worldly things, and have their big spreads, and I wonder about us sometimes right here in this little old church, going through the motions, amen, never bother to look who's at our gate. If somebody say amen, as long as we got the lights on, amen, in the parking lot full of cars, but brother, this man got in trouble, amen. I said this man got in trouble because of his indifference toward that poor beggar in the gate. Hallelujah. Linen represented, and you ladies that sew, Sister Hildred, you know linen is a very comfortable material. Huh? Isn't that right? It's cool, lightweight, soft. Am I right? Comfortable. This man had linen underneath his purple. He had the position in life, the purple, and he had the pleasure in life, the linen. Huh? I'm going to tell you one of characteristic the Lord gave if he's going to be in his church. It wasn't to wear the linen and the purple. But what did he say? Y'all ain't helping me preach. God love your hearts. I know I dumped this on you here on a good sweet meeting here. Woo, but I'm going to tell us something right here. This man is in hell tonight. He's not in hell because he's rich. He's not in hell even because he wore the purple garment. Amen. That signified his position in the community. Amen. But he went to hell. Amen. Because that was all he needed. All he needed. Amen. Come on. The Bible said he fared sumptuously.
righteously every day. I want to ask the American church. I want to ask us right here, even though we're under the fear of layoffs, amen, and an economy that's going bust. But brother, can we honestly say that the Lord hadn't helped us riding nice cars? Amen, got good threads on our back. Amen, come on, got good schools to go to. Amen, you're not helping me. Amen, God's give us the best of care. Amen, we're wealthy. God has given us a purple garment and a linen undergarment. Are you listening to me? Amen, we have the pleasure of being an American. We have the power of being a free country. But we're crossing over the man at our gate.
Yeah, I don't think you're getting this yet. That man at that gate represented several things to this rich man. The first thing I noticed, you know, Brother Robert, it says he was laid at the rich man's gate. Y'all out there, come on, church, look at me now. I love you. I'm going to help you here if you'll let me. He was laid at the gate. Who laid him there? I looked that over, Brother Tommy, and I said, Lord, but I'll tell you who, indirectly, who laid him there. You know who I think laid him there? I think Almighty God laid him there. Amen. There may be some things in your life you wonder why they're here. And it could be that God was giving this man an opportunity. I think that Lazarus laying at his gate was an opportunity for him, amen, to stop in his busy life. Oh, you're not helping me preach. Amen. To stop in his busy life and take some of that abundance that God gave him and say, here is some garment to cover those sores. Amen. Here's the crumbs. Amen. From my table. I'm not talking about just being benevolent to the poor, and I'm talking about a lost world that needs what we've got. Amen. I'll tell you what, a church that quits seeking the lost will end up lost themselves. You know, I believe in that, but I've watched it for 30 years of preaching. People in the church that have no burden for the lost, they end up losing themselves. That's what's going to happen to you. That's what's going to happen to me if we lose our burden for that man at our gate. That's the truth. Huh? This rich man, amen, this rich man was satisfied within himself. What he had, what he could do, what he had. I don't believe this man ever had the thought, what am I doing? Where am I going? How about you? When's the last time some of us just stopped to think, what am I doing today? What is the plan? What's the purpose? What is coming of the life? All the energy I've invested in this day. What am I doing? What am I doing for God? What am I doing for eternity's sake? What am I doing to enhance my place? Amen, in eternity. I don't believe this man, he lived for nothing. Oh, he had the wealth. He had the robe, but he had nothing. He lived for nothing. And when it come time to die, he had nothing to live for. Are you listening to me? I'll tell you, our lives are a big nothing if we don't take time to look around and look down and reach down. Hallelujah.
Lord, I got a burden to preach to you. Huh? Amen. If we, you know, when the Bible said Jesus came to what? Seek and to save that which is lost. He came to seek. What does that mean? That means get up. Search. Go out of your way. How many believes that all gifts that God gave you are to be distributed, huh? How many, God, the Bible said to Jesus, said to his disciples, freely you have received. Amen. I can look at just anyone in here. I can look at things God has given you. Amen. Come on. And God did not give that to you. Amen. For you just to harbor and step over those that are in need. But the Bible gave it to you to distribute to this lost and dying world. Hallelujah.
That poor man in that rich man's gate was an opportunity. I'm about done. I said it was an opportunity. You know why children, sometimes young people grow up? You know why it takes a while? That's what the Bible said, that new convert ought to not pastor a church? He's not ready. Huh? Because he'd be lifted up. Amen. How many knows that young people sometimes they grow up being tended to and waited upon? Amen. And they don't realize the concept. There's somebody else in this world besides ourselves. And then they get married and then they realize when they say I do, it means they did. Hallelujah. Amen. Then there's somebody else. I'll never forget Brother Jeremy the first morning. Amen. After I was married or the first week after I was married and I had to go to work and I realized there's another mouth to feed and then my child was born and I realized there's somebody else in this world besides myself. Can I tell you, America has lost that sense of responsibility, and that's why children are thrown helter-skelter. That's why they don't care if they go to Sunday school or not. Are you going to help me preach? Amen. We need to look at this rich man who was given so many advantages, but he did not use them. Real quickly, This man Lazarus was an opportunity for this rich man to do something with what he had. It was a responsibility. God held him accountable. Like the steward in 16:1, he had something in his hand that belonged to someone else, and he harbored it and lost it. Holy Ghost, I feel. Amen. That man at that gate not only represented an opportunity and a responsibility for this rich man, but it meant an accountability. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. God held him accountable. Amen. He said, remember in your lifetime, you had your good things and Lazarus evil. Now the tables are turned. You could have got involved in this. You had inspiration. You seen a man of God laying here in this condition and he never touched your heart. Oh, help me preach a little while. I believe he ought to took inspiration. Huh? Y'all remember a couple of years back when that woman came through, little Rhonda Hazel Hurt was her name. You remember, and y'all probably remember me telling you this, but she came through several times and back and forth, and I got frustrated with her. Amen. Because I didn't understand really, but what she was doing was she was living in her car, and her husband's an alcoholic, and her two boys were drug addicts, and she had a little check coming in for Rhonda, and when that check would come in, they'd be there like vultures. And they'd get that check and, you know, they'd go spend it and Rhonda'd be abused and mistreated. And so that all Hazel and her lack of education really and spiritual insight, she just kept driving in that little beat up car, had all her stuff hanging out the windows. And she could be passing through. She'd go from Kentucky up to West Virginia. And you remember we took her offerings. I put her in an apartment one time. Amen. Trying to help her because little old Rhonda, 12 years old. And I'm in a hurry. Amen. I remember I'd been to Falk, Arkansas preaching. And they gave me, they're good givers. I had some money in my pocket. By the time I got home, I remember it very well. I stretched out on the couch. And I'm just telling you, as humble as I can. Amen. I stretched out on the couch, got a phone call from a payphone. It was Rhonda on the other end. Preacher Webb, Mama needs her medicine. And we were here at this, they were up there at the medicine shop and said, we don't have any money. She had crippling arthritis. And she would take this arthritis medicine. She wouldn't go to the hospital. Amen. Because the social services took Rhonda one time and she quit going there because she's afraid Rhonda would be taken and she'd never see her. And so she kept taking and she said, do you have the money you could give us to get this prescription? I was wore out. I drove 1,500 miles, seemed like, that day or the day before. And I did have a little money for a change. Amen. And I'll just be honest with you. Amen. I was a little aggravated. But I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, you tell them to go ahead and fill the prescription and I'll come by. And it wasn't all that much money, really. So I went by. They weren't there. They were going to come back by and get it. So I paid the prescription, went on,
And they went home, got the medicine. Well, the next week I went to Blue Springs and preached their camp meeting. And I was down there preaching. I got another phone call. They were headed to West Virginia and the car broke down side the road. It's like the other day I pulled out a 50 to pay for something. Some old guys in the store said, "Wow, look at the money that guy's got." And I said, "Look here. See, that is wings on that money. That's going to fly away here in just a little bit." How many know that? And there I was. I had that, and I began to, I'm going to hurry and tell this, and we're going to go on. Amen. But I called a wrecker. I got on the phone, called a wrecker, and they went down there and got it. And then they had to go to a motel. They called me from the motel. And to make a long story short, you can figure it out. Called me from Denny's. Amen. No, I'm the need. I got on the phone at Denny's, gave them my credit card, my debit card number. And they fed. And then, if you remember, y'all remember it well. She said, the little girl got on and said, "We're coming to Richland." Said, "Mom thinks we need to come back." They just had passed through. Said, "She feels like she needs to come back to church." And so I said, "Well, that'd be great. Get back in church." And so they moved back down, and you know the story. Oh, God, I'm going to try to help you. Some of you don't even like this, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. Amen. But they came back in. I got landed at the motel up Claypool Hill. They called me again. And she said, "The car's broke down right here." And I said, "Well, I talked to them in the motel," and I told them. And I said, "Will you be in church in the morning?" She said, "I will." Do you remember they called? She couldn't come. She said, "Mama's sick." And sent some of you ladies. Who was here went with them? I can't remember. Y'all went up there. They called me back. Maybe Sister Carly called. I don't remember. Said she's in the hospital. Said they're going to send her in an emergency room. She took many painkillers and BC powders and eat a hole in her stomach. Long story. You know what happened. In the middle of the night that night, she left this world. Huh? There stood her little 12-year-old girl. But here's what, I told you that to tell you this right here. They called from the motel. "Got to move this car or pay for another night." I said, "The lady died." I'm sorry to hear that, they said, "but you got to come and get this car." I went up there, Henry, and it was out of gas. I put a little gas in it. I got in the car and fired it up. But I couldn't help but look. All over that car was little notes sticking in the visor and in the grill. And I couldn't help but see this little note laying there. And I picked it up and read it. And it was a note Rhonda had wrote to God. And she wrote, "Dear God, Mama is really suffering today. And we need medicine to ease her pain. We have no money and don't know where to get any. But I know you've never let us down, God. So would you please make a way, some way, to get Mom's money?" And here's what got me, Sister Teresa. She signed it, "Love, Rhonda." And at the bottom, she had it dated. And at the bottom, she had my name and phone number written at the bottom of that note. It was the very day that I was laying there on that couch with money in my pocket. And when the phone rang, I said, "Oh, no." You see what I'm saying? Who put them at my gate? You don't believe that, do you? Who put them at my gate? Be careful to entertain strangers, for in doing so, many have entertained angels unaware. Huh? Why is this man in hell? Because he ignored the man at his gate. And if we ignore this lost and dying world, I don't think we'll make it. You say, "That's too tight for me, preacher. That's just the way the Lord laid it on me, and I don't think he's no respecter person." You walk over that man at the gate. It didn't say one thing about beating his debts, and I don't believe you beat your debts. Don't get me wrong. But he was talking about stewardship. What God has given you. If God gives you the ability to work and the mind to be able to make, he doesn't do that for you to hoard up and overlook somebody. If he gave you grace of God in your life, and I'm not talking basically about giving to the poor. That's not my main message. Amen. But I want to tell you this right here. If you ignore this lost, if our church, Sister Jerry right here, ignores the lost and dying, downcast world, we won't have a church. We can preach our standards, and we better preach them, and I feel like preaching a little of them right now. Amen. We better be inside and outside, just like the Bible says, with the right spirit. But brother, we cannot have all of that intact and forget that lost world that Christ died for. Amen. And he called us out. Amen. I want to tell you right now, the Lord put them people in our way for our very redemption. If he had stopped and helped Lazarus up, he may have not have went to hell at all.
Stand with me. God bless you. I wish I was a better preacher. I appreciate good things that God does for us. But if we're, the Bible said about a woman, said, she that loveth pleasure is dead while she lives. If that's all we live for is that linen garment and that pleasure and that comfort and that prompt of the world for the world to look at, just like these singers, if all they're singing for is when they get on a stage and hear somebody clap their hands, they wouldn't be worth a plug nickel, would they? Just like preaching. I'm going to tell you this right now. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, amen. If somebody gets in there trying to brag or let on like they're some big something or they've got it all made, I'd just soon listen to a dog bark. Are you listening to me? It takes some humility. Amen. And it takes us realizing where this came from. Every dime you've got, amen. God gave it to you anyhow. You say, but I pay my tithes. He gave you all the rest of it too. It all belongs to him. He gave you the breath and the mind and the spirit. You say, but I can't lead nobody to the Lord. You got there yourself, didn't you? Then you know how to lead somebody else there.
Somehow we've got this all turned around that the preacher's supposed to reach all the lost and y'all just that the congregation. But you know, really, when you look at it in the stereotype of a sheep and a flock, amen, the shepherd didn't bear the lambs, this flock bear the lambs. That's how you have revival. Listen to me now. I know there was a day of mass evangelism where people would go from city to city, D.L. Moody and others that would go in big old crowds and they'd leave them in the care of some local churches. And I know all that. But basically, brother, I'll tell you how God builds his church. One soul at a time, using those that are already saved to help somebody else out. How many has the grace of God in your life? Hey, we ought to be stewards of grace. If God helped you quit drinking, then you ought to talk to some drunk. If God helped you quit cussing, you ought to talk to that sailor you've been working with. If God helped you be faithful, you ought to talk to that man on a job that can't keep his hands off another man's wife. I'll tell you what, if God, amen, redeemed you from gambling, amen, you ought to tell that guy buying him lottery tickets, I'll tell you a better way. I'll tell you, God has given us royalty. God has given us comfort. And we are going to go to hell if we don't share it with somebody else. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on me. I remember when I was lost, got in a situation where it looked like my life was in jeopardy. And brother, I was 100 miles from being a Christian. But brother, somebody in that crowd, it got so bad, somebody in that crowd, amen, told this up. One guy said, look, you probably need to get right with God. And boy, that guy, you know, already crazy. And he just blowed up. And I was just a heathen myself. I might have been worse than him, probably was. But Brother Zane, it come out of me before I was scared. It come out of me. I was praying the Lord to save him right there. How many understands what I'm talking about? It come out of me before I could say it. When he just went to cussing and ranting and raving and said, I said, that's exactly what you need. I don't know why it come out. I kicked myself. You better keep your mouth shut, buddy. But that's what I said. I'd never been saved and never tried to get saved. And I said, that's exactly what you need. How many knows tonight that's exactly what this world needs? I gotta let you go. I'm preaching on the man at my gate. How about you? I don't mean to turn this much to you because I don't want you thinking I'm throwing it at you because I'm not. How about my gate? When I get to judgment and the Lord starts asking questions, I was hungry and you did not feed me. How, Lord? When did that ever happen? You know he'll do that. But it's also on the other side of that, he says, I was hungry and you did feed me. But it's going to pay off every time we acknowledge that man in our gate. Huh? For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Christ came to this world. He was a friend of sinners. He fed the hungry. He was moved with compassion. Brother Mike, when he was so weary, he couldn't get his breath. Huh? He sung another line because somebody needed him. And I don't know, sometimes, I don't know, Sister Helen, I'd love to be here too every time. But sometimes I get torn between all those folks out there that's needing the gospel. Huh? And I know there ain't enough of me. Wouldn't you like to raise up about 15 right out of here? Are you listening to me, friends? I pray about my kids growing up. Huh? I want them. Isaac's contemplating, he went and took a law school entrance test. If he goes into veterinarian, you'll know he didn't do good on that test. And I prayed for him. I asked him one day, I said, "What are you going to do, buddy?" He said, "Well, I'd really like to preach, but have you looked at my calendar lately?" He didn't have no meetings. So I don't care him getting an education, but I really love to see him win somebody to the Lord. Now, I'm not a pressure on him, but Nathan, here working with these kids, and I know what he could do if he was loose from this, but Lord, keep him tied. Huh? Am I off? You think we're off? I look at you, Brother Ray, sitting back here, and I love you. I love all my flock. Do you know, Ray, there's somebody down there where you work that God has laid at your gate to give you an opportunity to share what he's given you. You say, "Well, I ain't seen Ray shout in a while." I've seen him shout. Don't you ever doubt it, Brother Harold. I've seen it happen. If you cuts loose, you better get out of the way. Huh? But he's given you something more than that. He's given you more than a shout. He saved your soul when it looked like there's no hope. When mom and daddy didn't want it. Are you listening to me, Preach? The only way Ray's going to lose that is he forgets there's other Rays out there just like him. Oh, Lord. Now, I'm not trying. I hope you understand. I'm not trying to shuffle our lack of souls on you. I'm not. I feel it right here. But I believe God pointed my attention to this text to let me know that it was stewardship was where this man failed. Huh? Come on, let's pray a few minutes. I love you. God bless you. You feel like you need to pray about this?